Blog Talk Radio.
Because we serious about what we're doing, baby.
Amen. Amen.
We serious.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what I don't know what nobody else is trying to find out about the Word of God for. If it's for, I don't know. But my thing is to be better in Him, to get closer
amen.
To Him,
amen.
And to do what
well,
He.
Go ahead, my sister. No,
this is my first priority.
Amen. And mine as well. You know, and I don't doubt that most of the people are serious. Maybe it's too much time for them after life. I don't know. But you know, we have to deal with issues. And I'm finding that a lot of people are listening, but they're not listening.
Right.
If that makes sense. You know, they're hearing, but they're not really taking in and doing.
Right.
So I wanted to deal with this spirit of fear, because it seems like, number one, I want to encourage people, if they are going through whatever type of fear, because there's so many types of fears out here, and you never know which one really people are suffering from, especially if they don't say it. You know, what they have a fear of, whether it's being alone or, you know, it's we really need to deal with these things in a natural way. And let me, shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Brother Miles. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Shalom.
Shalom.
So we're going to sit here and just talk this morning. This is not something that I wanted to do a precept on. I wanted to actually, you know, just talk with people, because we are suffering from some things, and I think anxiety is a big one, a type of fear, you know, anxiety about different things, whether it's being alone or not able to walk up right before the Most High. Need to see exactly what's out here, because, as I said, it's individualistic, and, you know, it can be different things. And, you know, we might have a fear, but we shouldn't be afraid to say that we have a fear of. You know, there are some people who genuinely fear being alone, especially later in life, or the fear of lack of intimacy. Trying to find out what is motivating us at this time, and, you know, and what we are actually going through. And, you know, people should not be afraid to discuss some of these things without getting, you know, too personal. Can't put your business out there to everyone, and I'm not looking for people to do that. But I'm wanting people to converse with each other. You know, there's a lot of people going through some things that maybe they don't want people to know they're going through it. When it comes to us as a people, and one of the severe side effects of post-traumatic slave disorder is anxiety. But which anxieties? You know, because you can have anxiety about many different things. Shalom, Sister Maria. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Mom.
Good morning.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Talk.
Good morning.
Amen. Yeah, we're just going to talk this morning. Concerning the spirit of fear. I'm not really bringing a precept. I'm going to use some verses in the scripture, but I really want to encourage us, because, you know, we have some issues, but we also need to be encouraged at times as well.
Amen.
You know, so,
amen.
So dealing with the spirit of fear, spirit of anxiety, from the standpoint of a woman, I mean, let me say it this way. From the standpoint of a man, I don't think my anxieties will be the same as a woman. And, you know, we can have some that are the same, but I think for the most part, they would not be the same. Fear of being displeasing to the Most High. That's a very big fear for me.
Me too.
And it gives me anxiety sometimes.
Amen.
You know, because this world comes at us a lot of different ways.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of different pressures and things that you can think that you're by. The right situation or person come up, those same old things can come back and try you if you let them. You know, so I know people who have been strung out on drugs for years. They go clean for a minute, and then the right situation come up, and they find themselves right back in it. You know, so for me, my biggest anxiety is not being pleasing to the Most High. Being alone later in life, do I want to be? No. If it was, if that's what turned out, I don't have a fear of it. You know, you just do what you have to do. But I know there's a lot of people who have that type of anxiety. They don't want to be alone. Fear of being, lack of intimacy, fear of not having a significant other in their life. So I think a lot of different things motivate different people. You know, I think the biggest thing for me, and I can only speak for me, is realizing that some choices that I made early in life definitely have an impact later in life. And things that I did mm-hmm. as a young man, I definitely wish I hadn't done. So, you know, regret.
Amen.
And I think those things, once you come to the Most High, they're natural. Because, you know, when you were carnal, you were carnal. Just out there. But when we come to the Most High and we're trying to do what's right, and we realize that, hey, you know, some things that I have already done, even that some things that I may have been proud of at that time, and understand that I should not have been proud of those things.
Amen.
You know, later. And so, you know, a whole changing of my psyche, my mentality, my spirituality. Always have had a, let me say this way. If I had a complete fear of the Most High, there's a lot of things I would never have done. If I had a complete fear.
Amen.
Yeah, so, and sometimes we don't learn until later how much we should be afraid.
Amen.
You know, so we find ourselves not wanting to be hypocritical. So, you know, I don't never say that. I'll tell you what I've done. You know, the bottom line is, it's what I've done. I ain't doing it anymore.
Amen.
You know, I'm a real believer, and when we know better, we ought to do better. My mantra and just what I believe. So things that I did as a young man, as you know, as I said before, I should not be here. And I'm telling the truth when I say that. People don't, you know, it's not something I say lightly. I really should not be here. Because I was very foolish, you know, just doing things that I ought not do from even being a child. You know, I realized, hey, if it wasn't for the Most High, and I know that's the only reason I'm here. I know that without a doubt. Because I know the way that I was. And I really didn't have a fear of anything. But I had a certain level of fear of the Most High. And I would listen to that small voice, but maybe I didn't know. Maybe I didn't understand the fullness that it should be. But as I read in the scriptures and as I learned, and even more so now, because you have to come to the understanding sometime, somewhere, Do I really believe what I'm reading?
Hmm.
Has the Most High shown me these things in my life? You know, certain things that, you know, you may never experience. And so you may not really have a real true point of reference to say, oh, yeah, I truly understand that because I've been through that. Everybody don't go through everything. I'm glad I haven't gone through everything, and I've gone through a lot, but I ain't gone through everything. So, you know, I praise the Most High for that, the things that he has allowed me to experience and still be here that I could be a witness to.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, the Most High puts us through things or allows us to go through things, or I don't even want to say it that way. We have put ourselves through things because we, you know, we are a product of our own decision.
Mm-hmm.
Who we decided to listen to or not, what we made up in our mind that we would do despite what, you know, we were being told. We are a sum of those decisions. And when we knew that we were doing wrong and we still decided to do it, then, you know, let's say doing drugs. I mean, I started smoking weed when I was like 14. Smoked weed, went into the military smoking weed. Matter of fact, the day that I went to the recruiter's office to actually go into the military, I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to smoke no weed in a long time. So I smoked 3 joints back to back. When I got to the recruiter's office, I was so messed up. And they did a drug test and didn't find nothing. And it was like that for the next 15 years. I mean, I would have to say I was an avid weed head. I always kept a kilo in my glove compartment. In my car at all times.
But yeah.
Because I would come through the gate and the drug dogs would be at the gate and they would never alert on my car. But they would alert on the car behind me. You know, and Yah had to bring these things to my attention. He brought them back to my remembrance. Remember when. Before he filled me with the Ruach, he made me repent for a lot of things. A lot of things. Because I was foolish. And I knew that he had been in my life my whole life. From a child. He was just there. And, you know, he would only let me go so far. But I would always listen to that voice. But I still, you know, foolish. So, you know, I'm in the military, 12 years, 13 years, still smoking weed every day. Go take a drug test. Come up negative. People that are running, they all getting busted, looking at me like I'm a cop. Oh, you a narc. No. Had friends that, you know, they were E5s, E6s, lost their rank, went all the way back down to E2. And then they were able to retire. So, you know, when it comes to certain things, yeah, I can say that I have experienced that. And I know when y'all told me that, you know what, the weed's got to go because it is a form of witchcraft.
Amen.
And I know a lot of us still smoke weed today. Truth of the matter is, this spirit that's in this country, you know, drinking, yeah, I used to drink. And, at, you know, one time I probably said that I had a problem with drinking. But part of my personality, just my personality, is I don't like anything that controls me. But, yeah,
amen.
Strangely enough, you know, if it's alcohol, if it's weed, if it's a woman, I don't want to be controlled. And I don't try to control. I try to play the role that the Most High has said that I'm supposed to play. So I have a very strong-headed wife. And, you know, she's one of these A-type personalities. And sometimes we butt heads. But the truth of the matter is, my natural personality and the reason why I've never found anything that I could not stop doing, like drinking or smoking or, you know, smoking weed or anything like that, is because if it looks like it's taking over, my natural tendency is I'm going to have to let this go.
Mm, man.
But that's just me. And I know, I understand everybody's not like that. And sometimes you can get caught up in these things, and you, and if you have an addictive type of personality, it can be very hard to come out of an addiction. You know, the hardest thing for me was cigarettes, to tell the truth. And the cigarettes, you know, even when I did, I came to the point I didn't like the smoke. I couldn't stop them. So, and I would have to say that was probably the, you know, that's how I know that cigarettes themselves are more addicting than a lot of things that, you know, people get addicted to. Cigarette smoking is very addictive. And I could not put those things down for some years that I wanted to put them down. You know, and as I said, you know, I'll give this testimony every time because it's true. I had to find something I love more than myself, and that was the most time. And that is the truth of it. And I feared him enough that if I made him a promise, because I, you know, I told him I would go out and preach his word, and I didn't, then he gave me cancer. And I knew where it came from. And I said, I would never make another promise to the Most High I didn't keep, because I don't want him killing me.
Man.
And when I went to the doctor and told him I had cancer, but it wasn't going to kill me, he's like, he looked at me strange. I said, well, I know where mine come from. This is an attention getter. This is a wake-up call. But I've also already been told that it's not going to kill me. But it might next time. And I made up in my mind it ain't going to be a next time. So,
amen.
We got to understand that what we fear. The Most High doesn't, you know, I was looking into the scriptures on fear this morning. And we, of course, know, and we've drum this enough, though, you know, something that I know that the churches don't do and most of the camps don't do is genuinely teach the fear of the Most High. And I know that we know that, and we have to genuinely fear him. He will not let me come off of that, because it is the root of everything. And let's read a verse here. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And let's get Exodus 20 and 20. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for Elohim has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. This is the root of not sinning, period. A healthy fear of the Most High.
Yeah.
It really is the basis for everything. And when the Most High came down to show himself to Israel, he showed them a part of his might. Not the fullness of it, but enough that it should put a healthy fear in them. And they feared. The problem with us is that fear is one of those emotions or feelings that it's not constant. And we're not, you know, we're not constantly up under fear. And so when a situation presents itself, if we don't put ourselves, if we don't consciously think about what the most time I think about this, we may not have no fear of that situation at all. Because we're not putting him first in the thought. And I know for myself, as a young man, even into probably my 30s, the consequences of a situation, the Most High was not the first thought in my mind most of the time. Now, I could get into the situation and say, oh, snap. And I would have used a different word because he's even had to change, you know, my speech. And he used to curse like a sailor, too. This was a military thing. But that wasn't even a military thing. I was doing that in my team. You know, it's just the way you, when you ran the streets, that's the way you talked. And, yeah, I had to clean that up. And I'm glad he did. But, you know, the fear of him or what the consequences of or what the effect would be on my life, I don't think that it really, really started hitting me until I got married the first time. And for the first time in my life, when I first got married, I actually wished that I had been a virgin as a man. And not for really my wife's sake or my sake, because I started reading in the scriptures and I saw where this running around and sleeping with different women, that it really was ungodly. And so I, at that point, I wished that I had reserved myself. Just so I could be right with the Most High. And it wasn't necessarily about my wife, because she wasn't a virgin either. So it's, you know, it's different, I think, for each person. But for as a man and coming into a relationship with the Most High, as I said, I know he's always been there. I can look back at my life even then and understand that there was, I shouldn't have lived through the situation. And I put myself in the situation, but I should not have lived through it. And he showed me and let me know that he was there. Still didn't put a, you know, I say I'm stupid. I'm just going to tell you, I'm stupid, because God, through my life at different times, has just shown me, I'm with you, and I will still go off and do something stupid. So a lot of times what I'm preaching to myself. Because I look back at my life and say, yep, you were stupid. Yep, you knew of the Most High, but you didn't really have a genuine fear of him. Because I wasn't taught to fear him like that.
Amen.
Just wasn't. And so as he has progressed me in the word, you know, I've always been a voracious reader. Didn't matter what type of book. Used to always read a lot of sci-fi stuff. You know, even read the dictionary, read the encyclopedias, what we had. Because I had a fear of my father coming in and asking me a question that I didn't know the answer to. And that was just the way he was. And I know that each one of my siblings experienced that differently. But for me, that was my relationship with him. Because he was a very intelligent man. Had raised himself from the time that he was basically 14 years old. And never really had a man figure in his life. So some things, you know, you don't understand until you get older. I didn't really understand my father until after I went into the military. He was retired military. And I saw the way that that life, the effect that it had on people and how it affected them. But, yeah, a voracious reader. And when I started reading the Bible, I couldn't stop reading. Because everything that I had read scientific-wise or, science fiction, documentaries, nothing compared to this book. Nothing held my attention like this book did. And my prayer, once I really started reading it and came to the Most High, was that he make this book like a fourth-grade book to me. Because there was a time I could be reading the scripture, I couldn't get through 10 verses and I'm asleep.
Amen.
It just automatically just put me to sleep. I'd be like, man, I cannot get through these verses. But then he changed that. And I became a voracious reader of the Bible.
Amen.
But for different things. And there was one time I was trying to read it to disprove it. I'm just being honest with you. And y'all knows. And the more I tried to disprove it, the more it proved itself. So let me look into this. That can't be true. People just use this for a crutch. I'm telling you, Yah has taken me through some things. But the more, I have always let him speak to me, though. And when he has spoken, 99% of the time I listen. But it's just that part of me that wanted to do what I wanted to do. They got me in trouble. Thank Yah, because he, like I said, he kept me. He allowed me to come back. He never actually left me, but he did. He chastised me, and I was at the point, when I tell people this. If you hear this from the Most High and it don't do anything to you, then I know that there's something wrong. But I literally heard a voice. I will not forever call you. I heard that. And I knew who it was. And ever since that day, I ain't looked back. It has to be about him. So, a lot of people... I'm coming to understand a lot of people have not had certain experiences. And that's okay, because there was a time, I hadn't had them, and I wasn't trying to hear say, I will not forever call you. So it lets me know that, number one, there is a calling on my life. There's always been a calling on my life. And I just needed to be obedient to it. And I think at one time I had anxiety. Because, when you got sinful thoughts, but you're talking about dealing with the Most High, but your thoughts are always sinful, that causes an anxiety in itself.
Amen.
So I struggled with this for some years until he said, I will not forever call you. That nonsense went out the window, trust me. It just was gone. I wasn't thinking about regretting about what I wasn't going to be able to do no more and none of that kind of stuff. Because I understood what he was telling me. I'm about to reject you forever.
My.
I knew what he was saying. And I did not want that, ever. So, you know,
amen.
I tried the Most High, and that's what really what I was doing, trying him, and I tried his patience almost too far.
Amen. Hey, Brother Miles, I have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Miles, and this is just for me personally, as it's related to the word fear, and it's sort of disheartening to me to know that I've been in church since the age 23, and I have never been taught to fear Yah. How is that possible? How is that possible, Brother Miles? I mean, to me, I'm not angry about it because I'm glad that I know Yah for myself, but how can
Amen.
You be in church all these years and never be taught to fear Yah? How?
Yeah.
And we... You go through, you know the word, I just don't get it. I don't know how I was that asleep that I never, ever feared God. And I'm just being real, never. And let me just say this. I think this is the reason why for anybody who is living for Yah today, fully grace and mercy, David. We talk about grace so much. I thank Yah for His grace because
and
I
could have
died in my sins, and mercy because I could have died in my sins. I've been in near death situations so many times, but Yah kept me. I could have been. Some people didn't make it, Brother Miles. Some people didn't have a chance to repent. So help me to understand how the church has and still is not teaching people the greatest commandment to fear Yah. Not teaching it. And I mean that. Not teaching it.
I
so
can't.
Help me to understand how
I don't know if I have an answer. I don't know that I have an answer.
The why.
It's scary. It's scary.
Should I question? Huh? It's scary?
I said it's scary. It's scary to know that one of the greatest commandments, it's the greatest commandment to fear Yah.
It's
but
the
yet,
first one
the church,
to fear him.
It's the first one. Never, but the church is not teaching, they're teaching grace. They're teaching mercy.
Grace,
they're teaching
mercy,
love.
Prosperity, all that. Because that's the program that they programmed to teach.
Amen. And people.
That's the program they programmed to teach. The books say they're going to change all that. Say the people going to change my laws. They're going to try. That's why you say study this yourself.
I don't.
That's
just
disheartening to me.
Yeah, I can't answer for every church. I know that they do have an agenda that they're given by denomination. This is what we teach. I think that they don't teach the fear of Yah because they fear that they themselves fear that it will run people away from them.
Wow. Wow. Mm. I'm serious. Wow.
Because, you know,
people are dying and going to hell because the church is who is supposed to be representing the kingdom is not telling people the truth. That's
They're not. The truth of the matter is they're not really representing the kingdom. Most of them are representing themselves.
They're working on the agenda that all the churches work on. Every church go to church on Sunday. They have Wednesday Bible study. They have the building fund.
Yeah. Amen.
It's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
It's just crazy.
Well, see, let me come to their defense. Wait a minute. Let me come to their defense in a way, okay? And I don't want to say I'm playing devil's advocate. But when you have worked in a church, and like I said, the pastor that I was last up under, I think the Most High for it, the Most High actually sent me to him. I asked him, you know, send me to a man that is filled with your spirit and that the church is filled with your spirit. And, you know, the Most High answered my prayer. Young ladies came up to me and said, do you have a church to go to? No. Well, why don't you come to ours? Went there, and, you know, I listened very well. And I listened to his morning service. And I'd never been one to go to church morning and evening. If I came in the morning, I wasn't coming back in the evening.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just being real with you. I listened to his morning service. They said they were having service that evening.
Uh-huh.
When I heard him teach in the morning, the message that he gave it for the beginner, the person who was in the middle, and the person that thought they knew something, all in one sermon. Same subject. And it intrigued me. I said, well, I need to come back and listen to him in the evening and see what this is about. And the service in the evening was completely different. It was all about the saints. And what, you know, worshiping the Most High and the issues that the saints were going through. It wasn't a fishing, you know, his morning service was like a fishing service. That's when most of the visitors came. But the evening service was for those dedicated saints that, you know, they're the core saints. They're going to be there.
Brother Miles, but does that make sense to you?
Does it make sense to me?
Yeah. The fishing service are those people that are lost. There could have been 200 people that came to that morning service that needed to hear from Yah. But it was a fishing service.
Hold on, my sister. You got to understand that was actually a good thing. Because when I say fishing, a pastor is a fisher. What did Messiah tell to this apostle? Come, and I will make you what?
Fishers of men.
Okay. And so that was actually a good thing. His messages were always geared around drawing those people who were in sin. But the evening services were about the actual things that the church was going through. You know, the things that the saints who were trying to live holy, trying to, you know, be righteous, who generally were worshiping the Most High, it was geared toward that. And that's really where I really learned how to praise and worship the Most High. Because all the churches I went through, they really didn't do that. Not the way this church did. So the fishing services, you know, if we had a room full of people, And they were all new, my messages would be geared towards fishing. Because it's to draw people into the kingdom. Now, once they come in, then now you got to do things and teach things to what? Keep them and to maintain them. Give them something they can live on. Can't be prosperity all the time. And that's what you hear about most Christian churches. God is going to bless you. It's prosperity.
Huh. Amen.
You know, if you come and you give... You know, if you give this amount, God will bless you. You know, but
Amen.
A lot of that you got to understand, too. I understand the mentality behind it because I lived it. You know, I understand that when a pastor or a church, when as a black church, we don't run our churches. Let's just say, I'm just going to say it like this. I come out of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, okay? Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, what have you. It is a black organization. Any Pentecostal church that you see that is a black Pentecostal church, that pastor cannot get funding for anything. They basically have to grow the church themselves. So when you look at a Catholic church or you look at an Assemblies of God church, the organization builds the church. They'll build the church and then put the pastor in there and say, now preach the people in. that the church and the initial building of it, that pastor's not responsible for. Over time, that church has to pay back off the organization so that they're going to go do it again. Everybody get my drift? But they got the strength of numbers Amen. Behind them. But most Baptist churches, Black Baptist churches, or Pentecostal churches, it's the pastor themselves. They don't have an organization behind them. So when you hear them saying the building fund or this or that or the other, let me just be real with you. Let me just tell you how saints are. Because I've been in this thing for a minute. Most people don't pay their tithes. Most people come and eat and don't pay their tithes. They don't give offerings. Yeah. And so if you have a physical building, you have more than likely, you got a note on it. You got to pay the electric bill. You got to pay the light bill. I mean, the water bill. You got these bills that have to be paid.
Amen.
And when you
Amen.
Have most
Amen.
People that don't tithe, that don't pay their tithes and stuff like that, then they have to start resorting to building funds and bake sales and, you know, all this stuff, trying to get money because, heck, for most of them, they're just like you and I. For a lot of them, they're just over broke.
Can I ask the question?
And sure.
Amen. Do you think that if they taught the true word of God,
come on, sister,
the people would do their tithe, and the Father would bless what they do, then they wouldn't have to go through all that scheming and conniving.
Before you answer that question, hold on 1 second, because I want to second that. The other thing is that this is what I think. Yah gives the increase. Yah is the builder of his kingdom. He does the choosing. This is what you teach, and I believe. So all of these excuses as to why churches don't teach the true word of God, I'm just being real. In my mind, that's just an excuse. Period.
Okay.
Because
so
today,
I'm gonna answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna answer that question this way. As I said, a lot of them are taught by an organization what to teach. And you will not find, I look at a lot of church organizations, their official doctrine, you will not find fear God in there.
Mm-mm.
In their official doctrine from the whole organization.
Oh, I know. I know that. Trust me.
So they have learned, now this is my personal opinion, not everybody wants to fear God. And the truth of the matter is, most people don't want to fear him. They want a buddy.
Hmm.
This is what they want. This is what people want, a buddy. And so if you are after people in that way, then you are not going to teach those things that people don't want to hear.
Hmm.
So... do I expect, what does the scripture say? The road to heaven, the road to hell is short and wide. The road into the kingdom is long and narrow.
And narrow. Amen.
And most people don't want to stay on the long and narrow.
Mm.
But you know,
I don't
what?
Know why this is right.
Yeah, but here's my thing. This is my thing, and I'm not blaming the church. I just don't understand it. I would just like to understand how we got so off the path, and we.
I can't answer.
How do we get so far off?
I can only do what God has given me. You know, the church that
you
I came out
of. You got all the way back in history to find out how come we got so far off.
Yeah,
you'd be surprised.
It's flat out just disobedience and doing what we want to do.
Amen.
So, like I said, Yeah, the scriptures, the New Testament is written to really reveal what's in you. In the Old Testament,
you know
it tells you exactly, this is what I want. This is how I want you to act. This is what I expect. In the New Testament, it sort of gives you liberty.
And you know what?
And
that
liberty
sense is
to show what's in you. So, I have to look at it like a child, okay? You teach your child certain values, and then you have to test to see if they actually believe in what you're telling them. So you give them a test and see, I told you don't do X, okay? And then you sort of have to devise a test to see if what you're teaching them they're actually believing and doing. So if I say you are not to put your clothes in the closet on the floor, and then I give you a little bit of leeway, and I come in and I find your clothes in the closet on the floor, were you really listening to me?
Nope. Didn't take you
seriously. So this is what the scriptures, right? This is what the scriptures are designed to do in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Most High said, I'm going to leave some people in the land to test you, to see if you will follow after their gods or if you will follow after me. The Most High intentionally did that. And what they do? They followed after the other people's gods.
I mean, the church, and I'm just saying the church, I'm not calling anybody by denomination. They don't believe the Old Testament applies to them. How is that?
I know. Because
you're right. Can I piggyback on that? Because I have a friend, and I was trying to tell him about the dietary laws, and he said, "Well, where is that at in the Bible?" I say, "You go to Leviticus 11." He said, "I ain't got no Leviticus 11 in my Bible." I said, "Oh, I'm not talking about that."
What the church has done, okay, and what the church has done is this. The Catholic, now, understand this when I say this, and the Catholic Church will tell you this. If you go to church on Sunday, period, you are a Catholic. I don't care what you call yourself.
Hmm.
Now, what's the word I'm looking for here? The Catholic Church printed the New Testament only in its attempt to evangelize. We need to tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ, okay, salvation. But they also wanted to separate themselves from Israel. Because it has set up its own organization, and it actually hijacked the Hebrew religion, the Catholic Church.
Hey,
and
Brother
Miles,
the perception of the Catholic Church, I don't know. I see that a little bit different because they tend to magnify and praise Mary more than they do Christ. So,
See. We got to talk about doctrine, and then you got to talk about how they actually worship and what they go through, okay? Their whole thing was to, and I can show you these documents because, you know, it's written by their own popes what they did. They changed times and laws, okay? Mm-hmm. And they understand people very well. They've been around since, you know, the 700 A.D., and they have learned to perfect this. They did their masses in Latin, which most people didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So they could tell you what they wanted you to believe. The people weren't reading the scriptures for themselves. The fathers were, the Catholic fathers, their priests, were told what to teach the people and what not to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go into a country, and you're saying I'm bringing the good news, and then you only print the New Testament, some people think that's the whole Bible.
Yeah.
So when you start coming from the Old Testament, from Torah, and from the prophets, if these people, a lot of people don't really, aren't really searching for God, they are doing things robotically. And they have well intentions, but they're still being robotic because they will not do it for themselves. They want to be told what's in the scriptures. And a lot of us have been guilty of that because we go to the church, we don't learn the fear of God because we were listening to what the pastor was teaching.
Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right.
And he was teaching everything but that.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Okay.
That's the
truth. So we, you know, the history of this thing, only thing I can tell you is this. I was in the church, okay? And I, like I said, I used to be a voracious reader, and I've always read the scripture. And any lesson that my pastor taught, if he revealed something, and I said, hey, that ain't in the scripture. Where'd you get that from? I mean, we had these conversations. And when I was his armor bearer, you know, we had, he and I had a, just a special relationship. He was 7 years older than me, but I really thought of this man as my father. That is just how mature he was in this word. And he would always tell us, you know, once you get filled with the Spirit, you got to go back into the law, even though he wasn't per se teaching the law. He said, you got to go back into the law if you want to grow in this. Because, again, it was about keeping people in the seats. And you start telling people they got to do this, they got to do that. And I said, well, why aren't you teaching all of this? He said, because most of them wouldn't be here.
Hmm.
And I think he had understanding that we are the people of the book. And he was trying to get there. But his, you know, it comes back down to, I'm going to say it like this, a fear of the people or a fear of losing the people. And for me, he says, you're different. Now, this is what he told me, because he had some very dynamic preachers, I'll put it that way, okay? People who could preach the word and get people excited, jumping up and down and all this kind of stuff. I said, I'm not that type of person. I'm not that type of teacher. I'm not that type of preacher. He says, but you're different. He says, and you're going to give people what they need to live on. He says, because you ask questions that none of these ministers have ever asked me. He said, your insight has to come from the Most High. Now, this is what he's telling me. He says, because the questions and the way that you pose them, I can tell that you are very well read in the scriptures, but I can also tell that the Most High has a ban on you. So, and that in itself has been probably the biggest encouragement of my life, because I'm like, I'm not one to sit up here and hype people up. It just ain't him. If you can't get excited about the Most High because of who he is, I'm not the one to pump you up. Just I am the one that's going to tell you what thus saith Yah. Period. And try to put it in a way that it lets you understand what he is saying. Because I know, you know, a lot of people read scripture and sometimes it don't say anything to them. And so we miss a lot of things. But to answer your overall question, fear of the people, I think is one of it. Because I've talked to a lot of brothers, and they'd be like, you know, I'm doing this. I'm like, but brother, don't be like Saul and fear the people. You should fear Yah when you fear the people. It's about me getting into the kingdom. And if I can, you know, if they can teach you prosperity, Yah's going to bless you. Yah's going to heal you. Some of them, you know, we know, running game. But they never teach the people And you know, I'm going to tell you the truth, probably because they were never taught.
Amen.
People have a tendency to read what they've been taught. The whole time that you were in the church, and I know you were reading scripture, but you were reading what you were taught. And that's typically human nature. So I just thank the Most High that he allowed me to see, and he put that fear in me, but he allowed me to see it in the scriptures and to gravitate to that, because without fear of him, you know, I know. Until he told me I would not forever call you, that put the fear of Elohim in me, real fear. Oh, you're not playing with me no more.
Hmm.
You're gonna leave me forever? I knew that death was close then, because as I said, I shouldn't be here. So most of them are teaching you what they were taught. And if you're not taught to fear Yah, if you're taught that he's your friend, that you can always depend on him, he's going to always forgive you. All you got to do, because they take scriptures in the New Testament and they twist them. If you use the New Testament only, and it says, if you confess your sins, he is true and just to forgive you, and that's all you're taught. Hmm.
And Brother Miles, people thrive on that.
I know. But
they just live on that.
Context.
I'm serious.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not in context. And that's why I say, you know, I'm going to teach the full word. And I know that I've seen too many brothers that call themselves teachers, and I see them cherry pick the scriptures to put together a message that is not what the scripture is saying. So you can take the scriptures and you can cherry pick certain verses and then you can make your own precept. And if people don't know the word, are you using scripture? Yes. Are you using it in context? No. That's why I got on Brother Isaiah last week when he was preaching the message that he brought, and he used Egypt as a captivity, and that the way that he used it, it was not in context with captivity. So we can't cherry pick the scriptures and to make a message to point to something that we want to see it this way, and we want to lead people to believe it that way. If you're going to bring the message, then, and as far as that is within you, you got to come with the truth and in context.
Amen.
I listen to people, and I will let people teach. But, you know, if they get too far off the mark, then, yeah, I'm going to ask them questions, because not to belittle them or anything, but to bring them, to let them see, hey, you might need to look at this a little bit different. Because the picture that you're painting will cause people to believe a certain way. And it's very important what they believe, because if it's not the truth, then it's a lie. And it might not be a flat-out lie, but it's a lie, because it's going to lead people in the wrong direction.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
I've always been one to question the brothers. If they say something that I know is just flat-out wrong, you know, it's like when Brother Job was teaching, you know, that it was okay to sleep with your wife on Sabbath. I'm like, brother, how can you say that when the scriptures clearly teaches that you can't approach the Most High unclean?
Unclean? That's right.
So you can't do that. And so I knew, you know, when the brother said that he was suffering from the spirit of lasciviousness, that I had to relook at his lesson. So I'm like, okay, now this is the spirit that's speaking. This is not the Most High speaking. This is the spirit of lascivious speaking, lasciviousness. And I knew that there was something there, but he named that own spirit himself. And I thought he was crying out for help, because I told him, I said, we need to deal with this. because your messages are being filtered through the spirit.
Amen, amen. That's good.
So, you know, I try never to down somebody on their experience with the Most High, because he doesn't deal with us all the same way. We don't all have the same experiences. No. We don't all learn at the same speed. And so you have to always allow a person, but they also have to be like, they have to be meek and humble and be willing to learn too.
Amen.
And so I'm always open.
Amen.
I know the Most High, he doesn't tell me everything. And so you have to always, you know, be willing to listen, because I know that most scriptures can really be interpreted 7 different ways, depending upon what spirit you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're coming from that spirit all the time, but if they're not one of the 7 spirits of the Most High, then you got a problem. Because you're not really bringing a true interpretation of the scripture. Like if you're interpreting the scripture to the spirit of lasciviousness, where is the Most High in that ever? He's not there.
Come on.
So your
Amen.
Understanding is gonna be off. It's not gonna be, you know, it's gonna be to glorify, in this case, pleasure. And everything's gonna be about pleasure. And whenever you look at the scriptures, you're gonna find everything that allows you to experience pleasure. And that's what I was hearing in my brother's messages. And I tried to say, hey, that's a problem, but that's not the Ruach.
Amen.
It's not the spirit of
that's God. Good.
It's not one of his spirits. So when I listen to people, when I listen, you know, whoever I listen to hear the Most High. And
Amen.
He gives me that discernment. And if I don't hear him, I'm like, okay, we got a problem here. Why are you teaching? And you can be off on a message.
Yep.
You know, sometimes people just come out of their intellect because they want to or need to teach something. They don't necessarily take it to the Most High. It's just like IOG. I heard, you know, a lot of their teachers saying that these scriptures were, if you teach this, this is of a private interpretation. Everybody don't believe like that. I'm like, why are you teaching that precept like that? Because we don't, if I don't believe the way you believe, and I have scripture, not just one scripture, but a bunch of scripture that says that what you're teaching is not correct, but it's not the way you believe, and it's not what you teach, then my interpretation is a private interpretation. And because you and all your people believe it, it's not. This is their understanding. I said, okay. I said, let me go look at this thing in depth to see what is the spirit behind this. And the scriptures tells you that no scripture is a private interpretation, but holy men as they were what? Inspired by the Spirit of God.
By the Spirit of God. And if it's private, you need to keep it private. All
right. So, but I went back to them. I said, hey, you on this day taught that you ran from the Ruach HaKodesh. And why did you run from the Holy Spirit? And why don't you teach being filled with the Spirit of God? Why do you teach that the more word
Amen.
That you know, the more spirit you have? I said, that is just a flat-out lie. The more word that you know, the more spirit that you have. I said, that is just a flat-out lie.
Yeah.
I said, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were lawyers in what the law.
Come on. That's good.
They had the word.
Yeah.
And they did not have the spirit.
Yeah.
I said,
Amen.
So your premise is wrong. I said, now, took them to the verse. I said, you are not getting your interpretation from the only interpreter of the book, the Ruach. It is the Holy Spirit that has to give you understanding in the scriptures and how to lay precept upon precept. Line upon
discernment.
Line.
Discernment. Amen. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. That's good.
So, you know,
yeah.
They couldn't say anything. But they still want to continue to do what they do. I said, okay. Because, you know, they were trying to get me to join that church. I'm like, you know, I don't have a problem submitting if the Most High tells me to submit to a pastor. I'm going to be in the kingdom. I'll be behind him 100%, doing what it is, whatever it is that I was assigned to do. But I'm not going to just put myself up under anybody.
Amen. That's
so
good. Yeah.
I listen. You know, if I was looking for a church, I would go sit and I would listen to the doctrine. I'd check it out. I'd check out his teaching, what the official doctrine is. If I found something that I thought was kind of flaky or whatever, I would ask questions. See, why do you believe this way? And then if they are not coming with the truth, sorry, but I can't be here. Because I can believe a lie and be damned.
Uh-huh, that's it.
I don't want to believe a lie and be damned. Because it took me down this false road, and now I'm believing, I'm being deceived. And I'm walking in that deception willfully. So, you know, each and everybody, I'll tell you in a minute. If I teach something, you should check it out for yourself.
Amen.
And that's the way, you know, the pastor that I was under, he would always say that. You shouldn't just count on my word. You should go look for yourself. So, you know, I'm a look, and if he taught something, because, see, this is something, too, that I say is a problem in the Hebrew Israelite community, at least as far as my experience has been. They don't really believe in the Most High revealing anything to you. If they can't read it, it is not. But Yah says that he will reveal things to you. He has to reveal to you in the scripture just to even how to put it together.
Amen. That's right.
But he can also reveal other things to you that may just be for you, to anchor you. Because it was maybe it was a stronghold in you, a doubt that you had, and it's been many times. I used to come on what they call Pal Talk, and I still go to Pal Talk, you know, to reach certain people. But I was going there to debate scripture. And the Most High had me going there, and I was meeting people from all kind of religions, all kind of denominations, and they knew the scripture. But it wasn't from the Ruach. So you can know facts. All the churches have the facts. They have scripture. But they don't necessarily have the truth. Because what is the truth? The truth is the facts arranged in the correct order.
Yeah. Amen.
You can have the facts and still not have the truth. Because you put it together in the wrong order.
Yeah.
And so when the Most High showed me this, he said, hey, I would be dreaming. I would be sleep dreaming, and I would be kind of in torment because I'm like, how can this be? And I can't remember, you know, particular argument, but how can this be? And I know that this is not true, but I cannot fight it with the scriptures. And he would show me in a dream how it went together and what the rationale was behind it. So he would show me the why. Not just the facts of it, but the why of it. And I could go back to those people and say, okay, now what you said is incorrect for this reason. And it can never beat it. But it had to come from Yah because I myself could not see it. And, you know, and being, you know, debating doctrine, the Most High had me doing that so that when I started teaching, there's all kind of doctrines and stuff that people come with, that they've been taught with, and they stand firmly on. Not all of it is true. And so in order to straighten them out and get them on the right path with that particular belief, you have to know what the doctrine is about, where they're coming from with it, and then where the Most High actually wants them to come from with it. But he has to show you that. And there's a lot of it he had, you know, in the middle of the night. He would wake me up. And a lot of times I should have, you know, written things down. Because when Yah wakes you in the middle of the night and he's speaking to you, sometimes I didn't really remember everything that he said. I knew it at the time that he said it, but because I didn't write it down, I didn't remember everything. And sometimes I would have to go back and say, can you tell me that again? I knew it and saw it clearly when you told me, and I should have written it down, but I didn't, thinking that, you know, I had it clearly in my mind, but, you know, the older you get, the memory ain't the same. Just sorry, mine ain't. My mind could be like a vice grip. You know, I would hear it, I read it, I had it. If you said it,
I had it.
There was a time in my life, if you said it 10 years ago, I can go back and repeat that conversation to you verbatim, word for word. What you said, what I said, when it was said, how it was said, what the context was. It ain't that way now for me. And the only thing that I found that I really retain is his word.
Amen.
You know, so, and even on my job, because my job is highly technical, and because of the way I never had to study. Never had to study. So when it's now, when it's technical stuff, and, you know, I'm thinking my mind is the same way, I'm going to have to read 5, 6, 7, 8 times before, you know, my brain actually just holds on to it.
And write it down, too.
And write it down, too, yeah. But when it comes to these scriptures, it is not so. But because this is where I know this is where my heart is at.
Amen.
And this is what my spirit, my mind, my brain, my body wants to hold on to. You know, all the stuff, the technical stuff, okay, that was when I was younger and I was trying to prove myself. I'm not trying to prove myself in this stuff. I just need to get paid, so let me do what I need to do. But this is where my heart is at. So, you know, I want to encourage us in Yah to know that genuinely the fear of him is the root of everything. And a lot of our people, unfortunately, you know, because they've been in churches. But, you know, a lot of it, some of it we can blame on churches. And then we, each individual, have to take responsibility for ourselves as well.
Right. Amen.
Because we can know a thing and still not do the right thing.
Yes.
We can know that we ought not be doing this, and because we want to do it, you know, it's doing something for us. It's bringing us some type of pleasure, fulfilling some type of need. We're going to still do it. Or I still want this person. I'm not ready to let them go and just let them use it. A lot of us are going through things like that.
Amen. Yeah.
A lot of us are claiming, you know, we love Yah, and then we still caught up doing, you know, messy stuff. And know that it's wrong. So, you know, we have to take responsibility for ourselves as well. The churches, you know, the churches, why they are not teaching the fear of the Most High, why do they teach Sunday as the Sabbath?
Get down off of there. Brother Miles, can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
This is just this is my opinion. Everybody wants to know what the mark of the beast is. I personally think it's all of this stuff. The Christmas, the Easter, Sunday worship. You know what I'm saying? I think all of that together is the mark of the beast. It's going to be in your brain.
Yeah, I can agree with that too. Yeah, I can agree with that to a degree. Yes, it all feeds into it, okay, and it's all part of the system. But there is going to come some type of physical mark or device that you will neither be able to buy or sell unless you have it. So what's in your mind, what's actually in your mind and what you believe can't fulfill that part of it. So I think that the mark.
Amen.
I think that the mark itself is a physical device or a marking, whether it's a tattoo, whether it's a biomarker, because they got where they can give these shots, and inside the shot, they have this organic compound that actually can store information, but it's a liquid. And they can store your identity and your, you know, just about everything on you in this biomarker. Could be a chip. So as far as taking the mark, I think, yes, you are correct that you will have to believe and buy into a lot of the belief systems that will open you to believing that you're doing the right thing when they come with this mark. Because they're not going to sell it to you the way some people might think that they're going to sell it to you. It's going to have to provide some type of benefit that makes people want to say, oh, I need this. You actually got people already chipping themselves, already putting chips inside their hands so that they don't have to, you know, they work for this company. They don't have to wave a badge. They just wave their hand over it. And they, you know, it gives them access to the building, gives them access to their computer, gives them access to, you know, different parts of the building based upon, you know, whatever access that they have according to this chip. Even paying their money. So those things are already here. They're just not widespread yet. You have to ask yourself, would everybody understanding and hearing, you know, even in the churches, the mark of the beast, what is going to make so many people take it?
The COVID test. Ha! Say it, girl.
Yeah.
So they give you your papers when you take your test.
Right. You know, and there's some of us, you know, I'm not, you know, I can't tell anybody else what to do. And I will not tell anybody else what to do. I'm just telling you, I'm never going to take those shots. Ever.
No. None of them. No.
Because, and I'm going to tell you the real reason why I'm not going to take those shots, okay, for myself. It is my understanding that COVID and these other plagues that are coming, these are, they are tribulation from God to bring men to repentance. And so if I take it, understanding what it is, what Yah has revealed to me it is, then I'm actually trying to sidestep his plan and his judgment, and I'm not counting on him. And so if it kills me, just for me, if it kills me, then it has to be the will of Yah. Because he's in control.
Man.
And I truly believe it. He's in control. My faith is in him.
Totally.
If he don't want it to get me, it will not get me.
Did not get you.
And I'm at high risk.
Hmm.
But I'm not gonna test Yah, because Messiah said, "Don't test the Most High, don't tempt him." Just to see if he will do what he says, you know, to prove that he's, you know, gonna take care of you. He says, "Don't do that. Believe he's going to take care of you, And then when the situation comes up that you really need to be taken care of, watch him show up. But don't tempt to say, oh, I'm not going to take this. And I'm going to go into a room full of COVID-infected people to show you that Yah is going to protect me. Messiah said, don't tempt him like that. Right. He said, don't tempt. You know, you're tempting the Most High. You're trying to test him. He said, don't test me. If you're going to test me, don't test me like that.
Yeah.
So for myself, because we are judged by what we truly believe, what's in our heart, is how he judges us. I truly believe that Yah has always taken care of me. And it's when I have not counted on him or tried to step in and solve the situation myself is when I've gotten in trouble.
Man.
So he has always had me. He has shown me over and over and over again that he's always had me. You know, I have to step into that. I have to walk in that, and I have to believe that. Can't just say it, and then my actions say something else. So when he showed me this, when it first came out, and I told people, hey, this is a plague. You're calling it a pandemic, but it's a plague. Don't matter how it got here, because the Most High can use China or he can use nature, however he wants to bring this about. But it's a plague. And if it's a plague from the Most High, then you need the Most High to save you out of it. Okay. And he tells us that I'm doing these things in the last days that men might repent. These are like the last calls for people to turn to the Most High and understand that he's in control and that they really need to change their lives and count on him and believe in him. Change the way we're doing things. Stop destroying the planet. Because that's who's coming after. Those that are destroying his creation and those that are living wicked lives. So when you say you count on him, you know, I'm at the point in my life, like I said, when he said, I will not forever call you, that I realized that, hey, I have to act according to what I truly believe concerning him. I can't just say it and then my actions say, you don't really believe that. You're saying it, but you don't really believe it. You're not willing to walk in it. You're not really willing to step out on faith. My faith has to be in him. In him will I trust. I can't make anybody else do anything. And I'm not trying to because you got to, you know, to each of us is given a what? Measure of what? Faith. But I can't be in the position that I'm in and be teaching people and not living according to what he's telling me to teach. Then I would be a hypocrite.
Hmm.
I'm being pharisaical. I'm telling you what to do, but I ain't doing it myself. That's hypocritical. So that's where, you know, where I'm coming from. And I can't tell everybody to do that. All I can say is, you know what? We all have to be willing to live with the consequences of what? Our decision. And that really is the bottom line. When Daniel and them came up against the king and said, hey, feed us this way for 10 days. And if we come out worse, then we'll eat what you give us. But they had to be willing to live with the what consequences. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ended up going into that fiery furnace, their hope and their and everything was in Yah. And this is what he's telling us. We cannot serve him in doubt. Cannot do it. Cannot have a little bit of doubt. Our faith has to be solid in him. You want him to show up, your faith has to be solid in him. Because he says, whatever you pray for, if you doubt, he says, that prayer ain't being answered. You shall not receive what you prayed for because you prayed for it in doubt. Yeah. Yah does not want us to doubt him at all. period. And so when we can understand that, when we can step into that, though it kill me, yet will I not doubt. If it happens, it's because it's his will. And I have to walk in that. And that's something, you know, that I say, you know, people have to grow into.
Hmm. Amen.
Some people, it's just automatic. They just, you know, even from a child, they had that kind of faith. Some people never get that kind of faith.
Hmm.
So I'm at the, you know, the point in time in my life where, like I said, I've always believed. I wasn't always obedient. Now I'm more so about I believe and want to be obedient in all
Amen.
Things.
In all things. Amen, bro.
Amen.
So, you know, as I look, you know, as we read the scriptures, and it's every time that Israel or anyone doubted the Most High, that he's like, you doubt? How long do I have to put up with you?
Hmm.
This is really what he's saying. How long do I have to put up with you? That's what he said to Moses about the people. How long do I have to put up with this people? What do they have to see to just believe, to just know, to be natural that Yah is in control of this? No matter what we see, what's in front of us, if Yah has said we got the victory, we just have to know we got the victory and go forward like we got the victory, not doubting. So when we today, you know, I think a lot of times that's why I pray to the Most High. I said some people need a sign. And he may or may not be coming forward. Like, he gave me a sign that was, it had to be for me, okay, because I know before we started the new moon services, a month before we started, I told, you know, I begged, I said, give me a sign to let me know that we're doing the right thing. Because I don't want to take the people down a path that we shouldn't be going down and we shouldn't be doing. I don't want to just be doing stuff just to be doing stuff because, you know, it seems right to me. And when that second candle lit by itself and I didn't light it, I knew where that came from.
Amen.
That was for me. And you know, people could say whatever they want to say about it. I know what I had prayed for. I didn't pray that he would light a candle. I just said, I need a sign. I need something to let me know that this is not just me.
Amen.
I don't want to do things that are of my own just because of my own understanding. I don't want to do it because it seems right in my own eyes. You have shown me this. This is something that you say that we're supposed to be doing, but I don't really see a lot of people doing it. Why? So he gave me the sign. He showed up and he gave me the sign, and I have no doubts whatsoever where it came from, who did it. And people don't have to believe it.
I believe, bro.
Amen. I needed it. Amen.
I believe.
And so
the reason why I can believe you, I'm about to get emotional. Sister Denise and I was trying to find a church that, you know, worship on the Sabbath. So we were tired of the riffraff. And we looked, and you know what the Father did? The Father allowed Sister Denise and I hope she's on the phone.
I am.
To hold class in my apartment for 3 years. For 3 years. And in them 3 years, he taught us the feast day. Oh, my goodness, I'm emotional.
Go ahead, brother, about him.
And that's something can't nobody ever take. And I love it for him.
Yeah.
Most, oh my God. So yes, brother, I believe you when you say that countenance. I believe you.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And you know, I'm going to say this. Always let Yah have his way. If Yah puts it in your heart to cry, to laugh, to jump up, to run around the room, let Yah have his way. Let him have his way. If it makes you emotional, you know, because that's something that the Most High took you through to, and Yah was searching it, and you couldn't find it, so you didn't, but you didn't give up.
Yeah.
And you allow Yah to teach you. Because Yah, you know, I tell people all the time, you got to allow Yah to teach you as well. And Yah should be verifying within you. If I say something, I can't be the only witness to it.
Amen. Mm. Well, Sister Denise is my witness. She was right.
Amen. And I can commend you, Sister, for that. Yeah, I can commend you, sisters, for that because, you know, you could have become complacent and not did anything.
Sure.
But you didn't. And sooner or later, Yah will send you somebody or send you someplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I never want to, like I said, that right there is a testimony within itself. And you should, and I know it keeps you. You're anchored in it.
Yes, it do.
Because Yah taught, you know, you spent the time and Yah taught you through the scriptures, through your study, through seeking him.
Hmm.
And it gave you a relationship with him.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we all have to have that, and we all don't have that. So, yes, my hat's off to both of you for being faithful and allowing the scriptures to talk to you and reading the entire book. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, and you had to take the time to allow Yah to teach you. He probably had to teach you some things.
A lot of things.
Amen. And he will. He will do it. Because he, you know, even for me, and like I said, I used to be a voracious reader of the word and could debate with the best of them. He still had to start me over. Because I need to teach you now.
Yes.
I need to put line upon line. So what you already have, now I'm going to add to and to perfect it.
Hallelujah. Yes. And that's what he's doing, and I love it.
Amen. So, you know, I just praise Yah for that. Because a lot of people, they read, but it's not really to have a relationship. It's not really to learn and know the God of the Bible. They want the God of their mind. Because, you know, you can read some stuff and you come to an opinion. You come to an understanding. But if you only got, as I said, if you only got half the facts and they're not even arranged in the correct order, you're not going to come up with the truth.
Amen.
You're going to come up with your understanding. And that's why I'll tell people, okay, what is your understanding right now? Because you've read. But how do you understand and what are you seeing? Who's telling you? Because if you know, I can't stress this enough. And you know, there's certain things that I beat to death because they are critical to our foundation. If Yah is not leading you, if that's not the Spirit leading you, then what Spirit is?
Come on, man.
Amen.
And I see this too much in our people. You know, they want to read the word, but wait a minute. This is another one. This is a pet peeve of mine. When people say, I just got to display the fruits of the Spirit. But then you don't really believe in really being filled with the Ruach, the way the Bible teaches it. So what spirit are you talking about? What fruit of what spirit? Are you just trying to be good because that's what you read? And then you find yourself struggling doing that. Because the spirit that was in you, if it's the Spirit of the Most High, these things will just come naturally. And you will genuinely care about people. Even if you can't help them all, you will still have some compassion. So, that is just, you know, it is foundational. When I hear people teach that, you don't become a son of God until you get resurrected. Like what? So you're waiting to go into the grave and be resurrected before you become a son of the Most High. That's why for a year we read Romans chapter 8. Because Romans chapter 8 tells you clearly, if you don't have the Spirit when you go into the grave, he not resurrected you to be his child. Because it's by his Spirit that is in you that he's going to resurrect you, that he says you're mine. Because these are doctrines that churches and camps are teaching. And I'm like, okay, you go. If you wait till you die, it's too late. If you don't actually seek after this, a lot of people say they want the Most High, but they don't seek after him. He said, you shall find me when you seek after me.
Seek me.
With your whole heart.
Amen.
They just think that this thing is automatic. If I can read the word, if I can try to be good, then I'm going to make it. No, that's not what's taught. That's not what's written. So, you know, it is my, the Most High has it, you know, really on my heart that people truly understand what it means to be his, to be filled with him. You know, and if we can't understand it in the spiritual, then if we can understand it by a blood test, you know, a man and a woman have a baby and there's a doubt. Want to prove that it's really his? You know, the baby came out the mama, so that's always mama's baby. They say, what, papa's maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Want to prove that it's really his? What do? Get a blood test. It's the same way in the spirit. The Most High says, I got to find my spirit in you. Then are you mine? So we got a lot of people running around claiming that they are the sons of the Most High, that they are saints. And when he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Why? I knew you not. My spirit was never in you. I don't know you. You run around using my name illegally. You know, when the Most High calls you a bastard, good grief. I mean, he don't mince words. I'm not your daddy. That is, you know, our people have to take that to heart. You know, and I'm going to be honest with you. For years, I'm not talking about who. That's why the Most High had to tell me I would not forever call you, because I have been going through this process for probably about 7 years. Yah was trying to get me to come, trying to get me to submit myself. And every time that I would feel like something with, like I said, I don't like anything in control of me. Okay? And every time it felt like something was coming over me, my mind would go somewhere else, and I wouldn't allow it to happen. And y'all was trying to feel me, because he's not going to, it's not a violent takeover. If you don't allow him to, he's not going to, oh, you don't want this? But I wanted it, but then it was like I didn't. I wanted to keep doing some things. I wanted to keep holding on to some things that I wanted to keep doing in the world. So when he came to me, that's why I said, when he came to me and said, I will not ever call you, I knew what he was saying. It became all about him. Wife didn't matter. Kids didn't matter. Job didn't matter. Business didn't matter. Nothing else mattered. Because the Most High was about to walk away from me. And when, you know, we went to what was called a watch night service, where all the churches in the valley here get together on New Year's Eve, and they bring in the, you know, the New Year's together, you know, praising the Most High. And I had taken my wife and my kids there, and I told, you know, my wife, I said, here's the keys to the car. She said, well, what for? I said, because I'm going to go down to this altar, and I'm not coming back until the Most High fills me with his spirit. So if you have to leave, I'll find a ride home. But I'm not leaving this altar until he fills me. I went down. The pastor that was that laid his hands on me was not even my own pastor. And as soon as he laid his hands on me and I raised my hands and I start praising Yah, I just start speaking in another tongue. I know what I was saying in my mind, but that wasn't what was coming out my mouth. And it took all of less than a minute, but I was prepared to stay there all night. Next day, you know, they would have to pull me out of there, because I was not leaving this altar until the Most High filled me. And because my desire, I guess, was right in his eyes at that point, you know, I had finally come to desire him the way that he wanted me to desire him. That he actually filled me. And there's no feeling like that. I can't even, you know, all I can tell you is that it felt like I was cleaned out from the inside out. And the joy that I had. Because, you know, to know that the Most High has accepted you, he has not rejected you. There is no feeling like that. I can't describe that to you. I can't tell you what that does, what it did for me. I went from believing that I was saved or could be saved to knowing that I was. A completely different position. Completely different. Wow, I don't even know. You know, I used to teach school. I would be in class at break teaching the gospel. Wasn't supposed to be talking about God, period. Because, you know, it was against school rules and stuff. But nobody ever turned me in. Some of those people still call me today. But my whole attitude changed.
Praise God.
So,
amen.
You know, it when you are, you know, that's why I understand when what people believe and what they know are two different things. What you believe, you can be moved on. What you know, can't nobody move you on that. Just like you know what Yah did for you for 3 years. Can't nobody change that and say nothing against that or move you on that.
Amen.
Can't nobody take
Amen.
That away from you. Because you know.
Mm-mm.
Not something you believe, it's something that you know.
Amen.
And there's a difference. And a lot of people operate out of their belief. And Messiah said, you know, a belief is enough for most people, but I'm telling you, I feel a lot better when you know.
Hallelujah.
When you know. So we definitely, you know, when we read those verses, did you ever read these verses?
We never read it.
We never read it, did
we? We never read it.
Amen. Let's go to Exodus. Oh, yeah, we did read this, Exodus 20 and 20. If y'all didn't, I did. I read it on the paper.
Oh.
Exodus 20 and 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not.
Amen.
Come on, baby. Come on. Fear not, for Elohim has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. Yeah, I think we did read this. I never expounded upon it.
Amen, you did.
Because, yeah, so this is the root of everything, that our fear of him, come here, come on, come sit for me. Come on. What you doing? I know you must be doing something you ain't got no business. Go ahead and handle your business right there. So we have to understand that the basis for everything, you know, fear is healthy. You know, this is not something that we should, fear is not something that we should fear. And there are people who fear fear.
Amen.
I had to look that up. But fear is healthy. If you don't have, you know, if you're in the jungle and you ain't got a fear of what out there can kill you, you could die. Because you don't have the natural fear to what run from it, or to be quiet and not attract attention to yourself. So fear is not always a bad thing, and a lot of times people think that fear is a bad thing. When we fear the Most High, it's a healthy fear. Because as we can see in the scriptures, Most High is, he's not always nice. And he tells me, I'm not always nice. But the world wants to see him as always what? Nice, loving, forgiving, merciful. He says, I'm those things until. I'm those things until. And once I decide to judge, then it's terrible. So you can always see the nice side of me if you do what I say to do.
Amen.
But if you don't, I have a space that I give what? Mercy. I have a space that I give grace. I have a space that I will forgive you for if you come truly repentant. And then there's a time when I judge.
Amen.
And once I decide to judge, then it's terrible. My judgments always require life. Blood.
Amen, amen, amen. That's good.
So something gonna
die.
Good.
Wow.
Let's go to, well, we only got about 5 minutes left, but here is something that I think that we have really lost the fear of. You know, I don't think most people really ever had the fear of the Most High, and I think a lot of them don't have it because of this. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. The book of Leviticus chapter 19. And let's get verse 3. King, come here before you knock something down. Yeah, hold on a minute. Leviticus 19, verse 3. You shall fear every man, not the one, his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am Yah your Elohim. Fear of father and mother. not having the respect. You know, even when sometimes we may not feel that they're respectable. One moment. All right, sorry about that.
Hey, Matt.
All right, shalom. Shalom, Brother Gary. All right. Leviticus 19.
Shalom, shalom.
All right, peace and blessings, my brother. We were looking at Leviticus 19 and 3. So one of the fears that I think that people have lost is genuine fear of mother and father. The attitude towards mother and father, especially today, it's like there's no respect.
Amen.
And because there's no respect, if you don't fear your mother and father, you're going to have a hard time fearing the Most High.
Yeah.
It's the same principle as how can you say you love me whom you cannot see?
Come on.
And can hate your brother whom you can see?
Come on, Brother Ma. Good.
How can you fear the Most High whom you cannot see? But your mother and father who are there are supposed to be teach you and disciplining you, and you have no fear of them. So how are you going to fear the Most High? You won't.
That's good.
So when we don't teach our children to fear mother and father, they're going to have a very hard time fearing the Most High Elohim himself.
Amen.
So this is one of the ones that I think that you know, we have lost. Because, you know, you got people, kids growing up, cursing their mother and father out, talking to them like they dogs. They can't tell them nothing.
No.
Now, you know, I can't put this all on the kids because the scripture says, provoke not your children to anger. As a mother and father. So you can't be abusing them and then expecting them to have respect of you, to have fear of you. If your life don't reflect what you're saying, if your life is hypocritical, if they see it as being hypocritical, they may not have the correct fear. If you are abusing them, you know, just genuinely just abusing them emotionally, physically, then they may not have respect for you. They might fear you, but probably not in the right way. But this is something that has been lost. And I think we have to bring the children, you know, even if they're grown, because you're never too old to learn. Even if they're grown, changing their perspective on how they look at their parents. Because, you know, everybody is doesn't grow up the same way. As we said, you know, if you come out of a dysfunctional family, if your parents were dysfunctional, more than likely, you're going to be dysfunctional. If their parents were dysfunctional, more than likely, they were going to be dysfunctional. They're going to raise you what? Dysfunctionally. And sometimes we just need to go back and do some healing between parent and child so that that respect is there, so that they will also teach their children to what? Respect them.
I'll tell you so.
Disrespect of parents. We actually need to teach that. We need to go back into it. All right. We have been here for 2 hours. I've enjoyed your company.
Amen.
Your input, your testimony. Amen. Yeah, the testimony.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to be able to be open and honest.
Amen.
It's good to testify, you know, concerning the Most High and what he's done for us, where we've come from. We have not all walked in perfection. And it is a journey, and I thank you guys for your testimonies and sharing, because, you know, it's okay to be emotional. It's okay to especially be emotional by with what Yah has done for you. So I thank him. We will pick this up again as far as spiritual wellness. I still want to continue to deal with this spirit of anxiety that a lot of people suffer from because of, you know, maybe we haven't always walked before the Most High in the way we ought to. Maybe we're not walking before him right now the way we ought to, and we want to. And so we have anxiety concerning this thing. We want to be encouraged. We want to also make change, though. There's a reason that we have that anxiety. If we're not doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, what we know we're supposed to be doing in our hearts, if we're not doing that, then we know we're going to have some anxiety. So we still want to deal in this area, but I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be lifted up to understand that, truthfully, when Yah is on our side, nobody can be against us. We don't have to fear anything but him. And we have to always fear him. So until next week, on Tuesday, I don't know, maybe we will continue in anxiety and we'll pick it up Tuesday. Because these are areas and spirits that we need to deal with. You know, the spirit of whoredom, yeah, there is one fix for that. Stop doing it. And if we are doing anything that is, like I said, the horoscopes and all that kind of stuff, stop doing them. Because, it is a form of spiritual fornication. So we should have an understanding of those things, that there are some other spirits that have come with this spirit. Anxiety is one of them. And, you know, so we want to encourage people to have a natural fear of the Most High, but not to fear those things that we're not supposed to fear, but just walking in him. So until next week, I love you. I pray that you have a blessed day in the Most High Elohim, and that he richly blesses you in everything that you put your hand to. Shalom, family.
Shalom. Shalom, bro.
Against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's time to get into formation. We gotta get ready for the battle. So call on your brothers and sisters. We gotta turn back to the scriptures. Stop making it all about you. Them preachers, they gotta confuse. Come out of her, cause Yahuwah is our deliverer. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a
socks and boots. We gotta move, step low, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise, open your eyes to the most high in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's heaven sent. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat.